What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. And moving forward, guess what? This is true. Virtual season is over, folks. I'll be getting their inside knowledge from the sidelines once again about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long, as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe to the Dynasty Happy Hour feed, the exclusive home of this super short run, yet super essential podcast for the month of August. I'm quite excited about today's episode. I'm just going to say it. It was fun. So we're just going to get right to it. And yeah, maybe I am a little squeezed for time.
Short on hilarious
intro ideas.
But while that might not
be what you're getting today, what you are getting is a masterpiece of a podcast appearance from today's guest. Well, who is he? I dialed up Grant Cohn. He's the 49ers team reporter for Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I think you've heard of them. And he's the publisher of SI's All 49ers, which features insider content about the team. He's covered the 49ers since 2011, so you know he knows this squad. You can often find him in the Cone Zone. And if you've been scouring the timeline like I have for anything at all training camp related, you definitely have seen this guy's tweets. He's lighting up the sidelines at 49ers camp, giving us tons of info, and he's about to deliver even more right now. He's going to tell us all about Niners training camp and deliver the definitive guide to the 2020 San Francisco 49ers. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on, ladies and gentlemen. Grant Cohn.
Hello.
Hello, Grant.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man.
Well, I'm very excited to talk to you. I mean, you're Mr. 49er, so this is very exciting for me.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. Thank you.
First and foremost, thanks again for joining me. You've been on fire covering this team since training camp started. I know every fantasy player out there appreciates it, and we are looking forward to hearing even more about this team that projects to light up the scoreboard and our lineups. At this point, we're fairly deep into camp. Where do you think this 49ers offense is at the moment? And what are some of your major takeaways as these practices have started to pile up?
You know, the offense looks efficient. It's interesting because I'm judging a run-first offense in practice with no tackling. So I can't really judge the run game at all. But I can judge the quarterbacks. I can judge the passing game. And all three quarterbacks on the Niners are playing well, but fantasy players aren't concerned with the backups. They're concerned with Jimmy Garoppolo. He's doing well. It's still a run-first offense, but he is taking better care of the ball. He committed a bunch of turnovers last year, 13 picks plus fumbles. He's only thrown 2 picks so far. So he's becoming a more mature, seasoned quarterback, and he seems to trust his targets this year. He likes the rookie, Brandon Ayuk. He loves Trent Taylor, who's back. Loves George Kittle. Seems to be developing a nice relationship with Raheem Mostert, who came on strong last year. So it looks like, actually, this was a team that was led by its defense last year. It seems like maybe the offense may be a little bit better than the defense this year.
I love it. Well, before we talk about this team more for 2020, let's take a quick moment to walk through last year. In 2019, this team went all the way to the Super Bowl behind an offense that put up the second most points in the league behind only the Baltimore Ravens. They were top 4 in total yards, and a look into their total play count shows just how efficient this team was as they finished only 19th in total plays run, so they were taking advantage of every snap. In terms of how it functioned, this well-discussed rushing attack certainly led the way, as they were top 2 in rush attempts and bottom 3 in pass attempts. They operated with a fair amount of balance when it came to personnel, with 40% out of 11, 28% out of 21, and a healthy 19% out of 12. This team has the luxury of bringing over a ton of consistency from top to bottom, but it's a new year, and head coach Kyle Shanahan is always looking to get better. To that end, can we expect this offense in 2020 to mix things up in terms of its scheme, formations, tendencies, or anything that might unlock an even higher ceiling than last year? Or is it about executing what they do best at an even greater rate?
Yeah, I love this question because Kyle Shanahan does evolve his offense, and it's not going to be exactly the same. That being said, without OTAs and minicamp this year, I think it's going to be hard for him and the rest of his coaches to really install brand new ideas and concepts into the offense. They brought back a lot of starters, 20 of 24, I believe. And I think, like you said, they want to be able to execute what they did well last season. But they have some injuries now. Deebo Samuel broke his foot. Brandon Ayuk pulled his hamstring. Jalen Hurd tore his ACL. Emmanuel Sanders is gone. So what they may have to, out of necessity, change their tendencies, change which personnel groupings they use early in the season, particularly, you know, September, October, if both Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel are out, maybe two wide receiver formations aren't the best idea for the 49ers. Maybe they would use wide receivers situationally, depending on down and distance, but actually use perhaps some more 22 personnel. This is stuff they're not going to show the media in practice. This will be things they work out in the next few weeks, but they signed Jordan Reed. They drafted a tight end named Charlie Warner, who caught three passes with the first team offense just yesterday. They have Ross Dwelly, who played a lot last year, and they have George Kittle. So they could have four tight ends on the team. They could do two tight ends, two running backs with Raheem Mostert and Kyle Juszczyk, two of their best players, and go one wide receiver. That could be a new wrinkle. And then I think conceptually, since everyone and their mother knows the Niners are going to want to run the ball, and if you have any chance to beat them, you got to shut that down, the Niners should have a more aggressive play-action passing game than a year ago. Last year was very much about running the ball in short, quick passes, yards after the catch. I mean, teams are going to try to take that away. They'll be exposed to the deep stuff, especially on play action. So it's just up to Jimmy Garoppolo hitting that throw, which he didn't hit in the Super Bowl. He's been working on it in camp, and he's getting better. So I think we may see a more aggressive downfield approach, even if it's throwing to tight ends, than last year.
Excellent stuff. This is why we're here, Grant. We're getting the inside scoop. We've talked about quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit already, but let's do it even more. Why not? He finally played a full 16-game season for this team, and for real football, it was a tremendous success. But for fake football, he wasn't as big of a boom. In fact, he only had four games with three or more touchdowns and three games over 300 yards. But he starts this season with a soft schedule through the air on paper. How has Jimmy G looked in camp? We talked about a little bit already, and the guys are getting a little bit banged up. But what can we expect overall by season's end for Jimmy G in 2020?
Yeah, again, early in the season, he's going to be missing some weapons. So maybe they'll lean on the run game. Maybe his fantasy numbers won't be so big, but by November, December, he should have Deebo Samuel back. Brandon Ayuk, you think Trent Taylor will still be there. Kittle will still be there. Juszczyk, all of a sudden, you're looking at a great array of weapons and a guy who's is in his second season as a full-time starter, 2 years removed from an ACL. I can tell you that in camp, he looks much more mobile and athletic than he did last year. He's not wearing the knee brace. They roll him out much more than they did last year. Last year, he was basically in the pocket. This year, he's moving all around, and I think that'll help because the Niners do have some injuries in their interior offensive line. But that's also historically how Kyle Shanahan schemed up big plays, the play-action bootlegs. So I think he may start slow from a fantasy perspective, but as the year goes on, he could put up big, big numbers. And he really should have a better year than last year for many reasons. More experience, more time in the offense, and more confidence in a surgically repaired knee. He'd never gone through anything like that before. It's tough to clear the mental hurdle of trusting that it actually won't fall apart again. And I think he's much further down the line with that, so he should play better.
I got Jimmy G on a roster out there, so I could use those big, big numbers two times, two bigs. Moving on to the pass catchers in the wide receiver room next. With Ayuk and Deebo out, we're left with kind of a mixed bag of dudes. Kendrick Bourne has dark throw interest for gamers. There's still some lit candles out there for Dante Pettis to pan out. Tavon Austin and J.J. Nelson were brought in. We need help here, Grant, and I know you've been paying close attention to these guys. How have they looked, and what can we expect in terms of this room playing out onto the field?
It's a shame that Brandon Ayuk pulled his hamstring because he was looking fantastic. He was looking like the best wide receiver on the team right away. In eight training camp practices, I just went through the last couple hours. I take complete notes during camp so I can tell people the stats because they need to know training camp stats, practice stats. And he was leading the 49ers wide receivers with the starters, 12 catches from Garoppolo. And now he's out. But who knows, it could be 3 weeks. If he starts week one, if he's supposed to go full, even if he only plays 12 games, you should be looking for this guy in the drafts because he already has chemistry, a relationship with the starting quarterback, which is rare for a rookie wide receiver. And if they have it, especially on this team, because they're looking to replace Emmanuel Sanders. They don't really have many options. So when Ayuk comes back, he's their guy. But the other guy who's played so well in camp is Bourne. Kendrick Bourne should be starting week one. He's entering a contract year. It's his fourth year in the league. He's always been a guy they could go to in third games in the red zone, but They're throwing him down the field more. They're just making him a more integral part of the offense. And then there's Trent Taylor, who is a situational player, but I mean, there's 13, 14 third downs a game, and he's probably going to get six targets on those plays. He's a key part of the offense. And remember, Jimmy Garoppolo comes from New England. He really sees himself as the heir apparent to Tom Brady, and he's the most comfortable standing in the shotgun and throwing passes over the middle of the slot receivers. That's Trent Taylor. They've always had a relationship. So Trent Taylor and Kendrick Bourne, as long as they're healthy, have great relationships with Jimmy Garoppolo and should have quality seasons. In terms of fantasy football, I'd be much more interested in Bourne because he catches touchdowns. Trent Taylor's more of like the guy who catches the 8-yard pass on 3rd and 7.
Is there any hope for Dante Pettis?
Well, yeah, in the sense that he had a tremendous practice on Tuesday. Of the 8 practices, 1 was great. The other 7 were quiet. It seems like he hit rock bottom and is slowly pulling himself out of it, but he has miles and miles and miles to go. And now he has an opportunity because Ayuk is hurt for the next who knows how long, but he just doesn't seem to have the consistency to be a starter yet. I mean, maybe next year when he's entering a contract year like Kendrick Bourne, it'll all click for Dante Pettis. But from what I've seen in camp, he's had 1 good day in 8. He's not there yet. He has improved in the sense that he's showing a little bit more courage going over the middle, extending his hands for the ball, which he didn't do earlier in his career. But I think he still has a long way to go, and it's not a physical thing. It's like self-confidence, self-belief, and it's the same thing that Akella Witherspoon has to – it's his issue too. Fantasy football players may not know him as well, but he's a cornerback on the Niners. He's extremely physically gifted, but he just doesn't seem to believe it. I think Dante Pettis is in the same boat. So I wouldn't draft Dante Pettis just yet. He's someone to – maybe monitor if he on waiver wire because he's a big play guy. He could get you. I mean, if he ever gets onto the offense, onto the field, and gets Jimmy Garoppolo's trust, he averages about 17 yards a catch. But I mean, it's a long way to go for him.
Dante, if you're listening, there are some deep dynasty guys who believe in you. So take that belief and apply it to yourself. Okay. I was one of those guys at one point. Why not? I'll admit it.
Well, real quick, I think the upside from a dynasty perspective is he may get traded in camp. If so, he may be a much better fit for a team like Pittsburgh or Kansas City, like a team that actually wants to throw the ball down the field and doesn't need their wide receivers to block 40 times a game and then become wide receivers when become running backs when they get the ball in their hand and break a bunch of tackles and rack up a bunch of yards after the catch. It, like what the Niners offense has evolved into doesn't fit him at all anymore. But if he could go to an offense where he could run double moves and get open down the field, he might have a second act to his career. So hold on to him in dynasty leagues.
Well, there you go. There you go, guys. All right. This is why we're here, Grant. Next up, Raheem Mostert has won the hearts and minds of the Fantasy Echo Chamber as he's rocketed up draft boards where he can go anywhere from the 4th to the 6th round, with teammates Tevin Coleman going much later, Jerick McKinnon even later, if at all. Mostert has been one of the most talked about players of the offseason for fantasy, and we're about to talk about him a little more. Sorry, guys. Why not? Let's do it. How have these guys looked, and what can we expect in terms of production?
Mostert looks fantastic. What can you expect in terms of production? Geez, you have to get Kyle Shanahan on this call and ask him to be honest, because it's not really a meritocracy with the Niners' backfield. It's sort of what he wants to do. And, I mean, last year he started Tevin Coleman all the way despite Raheem Mostert being star of the backfield. Will that continue next year? I don't know. I mean, part of me feels like Shanahan will start Tevin Coleman week 1 just despite the entire world because he's kind of a troll like that. And I kind of like that about him. But from what I've seen in camp, Raheem Mostert is clearly getting the most work with the starters. And, I mean, I'm not really tracking – I haven't counted who's getting carries because, again, it's practice. But in terms of targets and catches, Raheem Mostert has 7 catches from Jimmy Garoppolo and no other running back has more than 2. I mean, aside from Kyle Juszczyk, of course. So that seems to tell me that Raheem Mostert, the plan is for him to be the starter and the guy who plays – by far the most snaps at running back. That's a good sign if you own him. I do think they want to use Jerick McKinnon as a 3rd down back who can line up at even in the slot, someone who can give them an interesting chess piece on 3rd and down who can look at the formation. But on 1st and 2nd down, and even on some 3rd downs, I think it should be Mostert, and I think they may sprinkle in Tevin Coleman here and there, but if they use him too much, fans will just lose their mind. So I don't think you got to worry too much about the Tevin Coleman factor.
I think they might get McKinnon out there just to, you know, they've paid for him, so why not use him?
No question. It's just that Mostert played so well last year, and the coaching staff did catch a tiny little bit of criticism for not using him even more because, I mean, he rushed for what seemed like 800 yards in the NFC Championship game and then got 12 touches in that Super Bowl, scored a touchdown. Kyle Shanahan's been having to answer that all offseason. Did you use Mostert enough? Why doesn't he start? Should you have run the ball more in the fourth quarter? So I think now's the opportunity to, like, end that and just give him the ball as much as you can and see what happens. Because, gee, I mean, it worked well for Mike Shanahan and Terrell Davis. I mean, they didn't plan on Terrell Davis being a great player, but they ran with it, and it worked out. So maybe Kyle Shanahan will do that too.
All right, Raheem Mostert, wheels up. Let's go. Deeper on the running back depth chart are a couple guys I like during the draft process, and both have a fair amount of touts out there as deep sleepers. How have Jamichael Hasty and Saban Ahmed looked so far?
Again, I'm not even going to begin to pretend to judge them as runners because I need to see how they break tackles and what they do when they get contact. And that's the kind of thing you see in a preseason game, and that's actually why I missed the preseason this year. But I could certainly judge them as receivers, and they're both effective as receivers. And you could argue that the receiving ability is the most important ability a running back can have in this offense because I think from Shanahan's perspective, the yards on the ground are very much a product of his plays and the blocking, not so much the running back. So I think the way they get judged a lot is what they bring to the table as receivers. And Hasty is a lot like McKinnon. He can run those little quick choice routes over the middle like a slot receiver. And the Niners want that guy in their offense. They haven't really had him. That's why they signed McKinnon in the first place. And then Ahmed, he's really fast. I mean, he looks – I don't know what he ran. I think he ran like a 4.6. But he looks like a 4.3 guy, and when they run him on, like, just simple wheel routes and straight things up the sideline, he looks like a wide receiver. He blows past linebackers and safety. So I don't think they're going to make the 53-man roster as undrafted rookies, but they should probably be on the practice squad and get a chance eventually, and both guys seem to have – I mean, I would compare him to Raheem Mostert or Matt Breida, those kind of straight-line, super-fast guys who are home-run hitters. So I think both guys have a mold that they fit in the offense and eventually will join it.
Yeah, Ahmed, I believe, ran a 4.3 at Washington. His combine number was a little mysterious. Draft Twitter was a bit shocked. Anyway, last but certainly not least, tight end George Kittle is the real fantasy headliner on this team. We are drafting him early and often, but one area I think fantasy gamers would love to see Kittle improve is in the touchdown department. I know he had some called back last season that would have improved those year-end numbers, but how has Kittle looked, and can we expect that positive touchdown regression, as fantasy analysts love to say?
Okay, I love this question because I'm prepared for it. As I said, I just went through my notebook from training camp, 8 practices, and tallied up everything. And so I can tell you that he has caught the most passes from Garoppolo through 8 days, 14. Ayuk had 12. So he's the leading receiver still, as he should be. Good. He looks great, great shape. Really strong, but the question is how many touchdowns is he going to have? Because in 33 years, he's only had 12, and it's not his fault. It's because he really doesn't get the ball in the red zone. Like, the closer they get to the goal line, the less inclined Kyle Shanahan is to call Kittle's number, and I don't know why. I think Shanahan believes that Kittle's great in space. Like, if you scheme him open, just a little bit of space, he can run over people. But in short, confined spaces, he doesn't necessarily have the wiggle to get open that, like, Jordan Reed has, or the ability to make difficult contested catches over his head like Kendrick Bourne does. You could argue that Kyle Shanahan's being a little nitpicky and hard on George Kittle, but I just think that's the deal because so far through 8 days of camp, Kittle has 0 touchdowns. 0. I'm telling you. It's like, are you kidding? You know it's something you need to improve on, and they don't really – they haven't made it a point of emphasis at all. Like, they do these red zone drill days, and he never gets a target in the end zone. If he ever gets a target, it's like 10 yards out, and they want him to break 8 tackles to get in. And on top of that, he's only gotten 1 catch, 1 target in 2 days in the red zone. It's like, okay, well, that's just how Kyle Shanahan wants it to be. So if you're drafting George Kittle, he's a great player. He's going to go for 1,000 yards, maybe 1,200 yards. But expect 4 touchdowns, and all of them are probably going to come from like 30, 40 yards out because that's just the way Kyle Shanahan calls plays. Sorry.
Well, we do accept your sorry because we want Kittle touchdowns, Grant, okay?
So do I. I think he deserves it. I think the fantasy football players deserve it. Watchers of football around the world deserve it. I mean, come on. Like, if Kittle were on the Chiefs, Andy Reid would be thinking of a million ways to get in the ball in the end zone, just like he does for Travis Kelce. But here, Kyle Shanahan has his own way of doing things.
Well, it's working out for him. He made the Super Bowl. So.
Not in the red zone so much. He could improve in the red zone, but he is still a very good coach.
All right. Any signs of life from Jordan Reed, who recently signed?
Definite signs of life. I know he's alive. I saw him stretch yesterday, and let me tell you, it was one of the most impressive stretch sessions I've ever seen. I mean, he's limber. He can definitely run around. Can he run a route? Can he catch a pass? Haven't seen him do that since day one of camp. He's been like the Wizard of Oz. Like, where are you? I don't know what's going on. It seems like he's probably going to make the team. But I think if I had to guess, they just want to get him to the regular season healthy. And the last thing they want is for him to get a concussion in training camp. They must feel like, I mean, he's not injured. He took all the last year off. There's no foot injury or knee injury that he's recovering from. They must feel that he's in good shape. I mean, that he's healthy. They need to get him into football shape, but he's spry and young enough that they just, if they can get him to the regular season in one piece, better for the eighth concussion to happen in a real game than in practice. I don't know. That's kind of how I think he's going to be around. He'll either be on the practice squad because you could put six vets on this practice squad this year and call two up every week. So one way or another, he'll be on this team, probably active on game days. I don't know what he's going to look like or what his role will be, because he literally hasn't taken one rep in team drills in camp, and I don't think he's going to, but they restart tomorrow on Tuesday, and they'll have four more practices. So Jordan Reed watch starts officially again on Tuesday.
And here's the thing, Grant, we're so sick and desperate for football right now that signs of stretching does get us excited.
Oh, man, I filmed the whole thing and put it up on my YouTube page. So if you want to watch Jordan Reed do the most impressive stretch session ever, check out my YouTube channel.
I will be checking that out, and I think everyone will be flocking to it after this. The views are going to be skyrocketing. Okay, well, we're going to get you out of here. We got one question left, but it's a toughie. We're going to make you put yourself out there. What's your boldest fantasy prediction for the 49ers in 2020?
Okay, my bold fantasy prediction is that Kendrick Bourne will catch 10 touchdown passes in 2020. He's been their red zone guy for about 3 years, 2 years at least. That was back when he was kind of a young knucklehead, and I say that in the most endearing way. I loved Kendrick Bourne, great guy, but he really was a young receiver who would make young receiver mistakes, run the wrong route, line up in the wrong spot, drop the ball. He's not doing that anymore. All of a sudden, he looks like he's 30, and he's focused. He's in great shape. He still is Kyle Shanahan's favorite player to call plays for from the 6 yard line in. He's going to get a lot of touches. He's gone from being like the number four, number three receiver to maybe to being the number one or number two, especially while Deebo Samuel's out. He's going to get more targets. He's going to get more opportunities. He's going to score 10 touchdowns in 2020, draft Kendrick Bourne.
You know what? There's a lot of guys out there who are doing the Kendrick Bourne tout, and they're going to be taking victory laps after listening to this podcast. So thank you so much. I'll thank you on their behalf. Anyway, this has been a phone call with you, but you are the best-dressed man on football Twitter. You've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
Well, I think that I'm wearing a suit and tie right now. Not only up top. We're in shorts on the bottom because you got to set the line somewhere. You can find me on Twitter at Grant Cohn. You can find me on YouTube. Search for Grant Cohn. You can find me. You just search for Grant Cohn. I'm there. Google, doesn't matter. I'm not on Facebook, though, or Instagram because I feel like I'm too old for that. I'm 32 years old. Well, maybe I'm too young for Facebook. I don't know what I am in that sense. But, yeah, YouTube, Twitter, those are the best spots. And Sports Illustrated. I guess I also write for them. How could I forget? Check me out there, too.
And they're a fairly prominent sports organization. So, yeah, you might want to give
fairly.
That. All right. Well, thank you so much. And have a safe and healthy rest of your 2020, Grant.
Same to you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Jordan Reed. Definitely alive. George Kittle. Touchdown hopes. Not so much. You are now dialed in.